Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church, and we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
Good afternoon, church. It is so wonderful to be able to worship with you this afternoon. And man, we've already feasted so much on such good truth. It is such a joy and a privilege to be able to gather as God's people to hear so much truth week in and week out. Eve, thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you for the way that the word of the Lord is just at work in people's lives. That excites me. It excites me that we can hear week in and week out of what God is doing in your lives. And this is such an encouragement. Now, what we want to do now is we want to turn to hear from God. This is why we gather, because we know that God's word changes us. And so you want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to read from chapter 5 again. And specifically, you know, we are getting back to basics. Getting back to basics of what it means to be a church family. And last week, you know, we talked a little bit about that already. Are we coming out of lockdown? Our services are resuming. We're able to gather together in one service, and we praise God for that. I'm so thankful we can gather as one body, as a church family, as God designed us to be. And so let me just read for us again from verse 12 in chapter 5. And this is the word should be on the screen as well if you don't have your Bible. But I would encourage you to open your Bibles, and then we'll read this together. I'll read from verse 12, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Well, I'm not sure if everyone's familiar with the lady named Corrie ten Boom. Maybe you know her, maybe you don't. I want to tell you a story about her life as we start here today. She was a lady that grew up in a religious family. And during the Second World War, she and her family helped to hide hundreds of Jews to protect them from the Nazis. But what happened was that she was betrayed by a fellow Dutchman, a Dutch citizen, and she and her entire family ended up being arrested and put in prison. Now, she wrote a book, and in that book called The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom talks about an incident which taught her about being thankful. She and her sister Betsy had just been transferred to the worst German camp prison there was. And upon entering the barracks, you know, the place where they keep all the prisoners together, I can pretty much assure you this was no hotel, they found them to be extremely overcrowded and infested with fleas. So picture this in your mind. A small room, overcrowded with people, and the fleas are growing quicker than the amount of people are being put in it. Smelly, sweaty. And one morning, these two sisters had their Bible reading, and the text that they came to is the same text that we're going to study today. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, which says, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, Betsy told Corey to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of the new living environment. Corey at first flatly refused to give thanks to the fleas, but Betsy persisted. Corey finally gave in. During the months they spent at the camp, they were actually pretty surprised that they could have open Bible studies and prayer meetings without the guards interfering. At first they could not figure out why. It was only several months later when they learned that the guards would not enter the barracks, you know, the, where all these people are, because of the fleas. Now, why am I sharing with you this story this afternoon? Because as a church, we're slowing down and thinking about what it means to be a church family. A family that's going to build on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are getting back to the basics. And so last week, we saw the importance of how to relate to each other as a family in Christ. And today, I want us to talk about something that is very important. Something I believe is crucial as our witness, as God's people. But also something that is vital in our relationship with God. And can you see what it is? Yes, it's thankfulness. Thankfulness. Being a thankful person, no matter what your circumstances are. And from this opening illustration, we see that God can use something as disgusting as fleas to turn a reluctant heart of complaining into one that is truly thankful. We see that He orchestrates all the details of life down to that last flea so that people can know Him and grow in love for Him, especially in difficult times. And we see that no matter what the circumstances are, Christians should be thankful people. Now we're studying the book of 1 Thessalonians. Last week we focused on verses 14 and 15 in chapter 5. And we saw the five tests of, that God wants us to be in terms of a church family. And how we're relating to one another. But today we're going to spend time specifically on verse 18. Paul writes, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so I want to talk to you today about being a thankful person. The importance of being a thankful person. But there are a few things we need to remember if we're going to consider the situation of the Thessalonian church. You remember what we said last week, that they were struggling with a lot of challenges, facing persecution from all over. And if you read this letter, and if you spend time in it, you will remember that the Apostle Paul tells us that at the end of the first chapter, that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. Chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And as a result of their newfound faith in Jesus, some people have lost their jobs. Some have lost their families. Some have even lost their friends. And not only that, they were young believers. And like most children, joy and thankfulness is determined by their circumstances, right? If things go well, they're happy and they're thankful. If things don't go so well, they're grumpy and they tend to complain. And unfortunately, I think many of us, this is how we relate to God. If things go well in our lives, then we're happy. But as soon as things get more difficult, we struggle to have genuine joy, prayer, and thankfulness. And so if we're going to grow in our witness and influence for Christ here at Living Hope, we need to be able to be a people who are overflowing with gratitude. Not only do we need to know how to relate to one another, today's text shows us how we are to relate to God Himself. And specifically, the importance of being a thankful person. And so to help us understand this more and the importance of being someone that is truly thankful, we're going to look at this verse 18 and see firstly the instruction, what we are to do. Then secondly, we're going to see the occasion, when we are to do it. Thirdly, the reason why we should do it. And fourthly, the possibility, how we can do it. Now, as Paul is giving us this quick list of exhortations here at the end of the letter, He's not introducing something that is new here. This is not a new idea in the Bible. The idea of giving thanks has been something that the Bible talks about for a long time, and it's not new for believers. In fact, he's simply expressing what the Bible has been saying from the way in the beginning. Consider 1 Chronicles 16:18. We see thanksgiving for deliverance. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. In Daniel 6, verse 10, we see thanksgiving and prayer. Now, when Daniel knew that the document has been signed, and this is the document that says he cannot worship God and should worship the king instead, he went into his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then we get to the New Testament, Colossians 3:15-17, and we see thanksgiving in relation to God, in terms of unity and in terms of worship. He writes, Paul, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, to the Father through him." So what Paul is doing here in these final verses of 1 Thessalonians is that he's listing several characteristics that should be evident and true of God's people. Specifically here in verses 16 to 18, you could say at first glance when you read this, this is the three impossibles. How do we do this? Rejoice always? Pray without ceasing? Never stopping to pray? And be thankful in everything? Are these really impossible? These are not simply habits that Christians practice now and again. You see that, right? Rather, these are the clear signs that someone is a true follower of Jesus. Clear characteristic of what marks the Christian's life. These are the basics of what it means to be a new creation. A person with a new identity in Jesus. But really, Paul, really, is he saying that Christians are to be joyful, prayerful, and thankful at all time? Because what's happening here is Paul is calling us to a basic yet radically different outlook on life, where Christians can and should be so thankful as a way of life that they recognize that it is spiritually abnormal not to be. And so before we dive into this text, let me ask you right now, are you a thankful person? Would the people around you know that you're a thankful person? And more importantly, would God know that you're a thankful person? I'm absolutely convinced, based on what the Bible says, that if you want to make an impact for Christ in your life and here at this church, knowing how to relate to others and how to relate to God, then it doesn't need a seminary degree. You don't have to be someone that's this natural leader. You don't have to be an extrovert or this amazing communicator, being able to quote the Bible in Hebrew and Greek and as you share the gospel with people. But one thing you need to be that is absolutely crucial is to be thankful. Thankful. Simple, is it not? Being thankful? Or is it? Well, let's take a closer look at this instruction in verse 18. Number one, the instruction, what are we to do? Paul says it very clearly, give thanks. Now, after explaining to the Thessalonian church the importance of relating to the leaders in the right way, we saw that in verses 12 and 13, and how we are to relate to each other last week, verses 14 and 15, he now shifts to the individual, and he wants to exhort them in how they relate to God. And again, he says from verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in our text, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And back in chapter 4, he wrote them and that they may know how to live in order to please God. And as we see in our text today, that thankfulness is a vital part of how we're going to relate to God. And at the very basic and simple level, giving thanks means what? Acknowledging through your words and your deeds that you've received kindness from someone else. And for the Christian, it means we have to stop and recognize who we are giving thanks to. And now one of the first points Paul actually makes in his letter to the Romans is that unbelievers do not have this framework. Look at what he says here in Romans 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And now look at the contrast here. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so do you see the clear opposites of this verse, these two verses? I mean, the unbeliever, through their conscience, which is actually also a gift from God, and through general revelation and creation, they're able to look at all that and think about that, and their minds are so twisted, and their hearts are so fundamentally broken, they cannot recognize who God is and be able to give thanks to him. And so we already see, even from that verse, that ingratitude towards God and being unthankful is one of the root sins of a person's rebellion against God. But the believer, Paul says, because of receiving Jesus as Lord, results in this amazing change. A change where a person is abounding in thanksgiving. And abound means thankfulness that is growing and overflows after receiving this new, regenerated Christian heart. This is a lifestyle of someone who is constantly thankful. And it doesn't stay inside of them, and it overflows to those around them. And it's evident to everyone. Why? Because of this new relationship with Jesus. I mean, we're not talking about the kind of thankfulness you sometimes see with kids, you know, when you always have to beg them to go and say thank you when someone did something for them. No, this is a thankfulness that cannot be contained. And many times we see with new believers. They're hungry for God's word. They stand amazed at the things they learn from God on a continual basis. You give them a new book to read, and the new believer is like, thank you, thank you, thank you. You teach them about God's love for them, and they're like, wow, that's amazing. You teach them about the sovereignty of God, and they're like, whoa, how's that possible? But one of the temptations for Christians is the danger of getting used to the knowledge and the blessings of God, that we are not in amazement of his grace and his mercy, and eventually people become less thankful and less grateful over time. Think about it as a journey. Someone that travels all over the world, when you go to a new place for the first time, it's pretty exciting. You're super excited. You experience all these new things. It's like when my wife and I went to America for the first time by ourselves, and we went up to Empire State Building, this iconic building in America, and you can see what's one of the tallest in New York City, and you can see so much of America just from there. It's amazing. Breathtaking views. But when you go back for the third or fourth time, and we haven't done this, but someone did maybe, you get used to it, and then slowly but surely, you start to take it for granted. And it shows in the way you talk. It shows in your attitude. Everyone is trying to get to the top because they're so excited, and you just want to stay at the bottom. And so this forces us to stop and think, is my life overflowing with thankfulness, or have I become so used to the grace of God in my life that, and the many blessings he gives me, that I start to take things for granted? I mean, it's not impossible for believers to be thankless. It just should not be the case. And so let me give you a practical example here at Living Hope. How many people actually thank the Quantum drivers every Sunday for picking them up from their home? Bringing them to church, taking them home again. It can easily become this thing where it's just expected, right? The blessing of someone giving his time and his effort, along with the finances of the rest of the church family, all of this coming from God to get people to church, to hear the word, and it becomes normal. This is what we do on a Sunday. And so there's this great danger that we need to be careful of. And I'm not saying that those who use the Quantum are not thankful people. But perhaps if I ask those who drive the Quantum, would they say there's a culture of thankfulness being expressed in the life of this church? Or what about your job? Just because someone earns a salary, it's expected of them to do the work, right? And therefore often the need to thank them or to be thankful for them goes in the trash along with the lunchtime leftovers at the office. Well, what about at home? When last did you thank your wife or your mom for doing the laundry? Or making a meal? It so easily becomes a culture that we expect things rather than being thankful for the many blessings we receive from God. Now, in fact, we see this in the Bible as well. Consider the event again where Jesus was healing people in Luke 17:11. It's been a while since we've studied that section, so let me just read it to you again quickly. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. This is Jesus. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, so you stop there and it's pretty amazing, right? Jesus heals these guys and tells them, "Go and show others that you are now clean." And you think that would be causing these guys to be super thankful, right? But then we read on in verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And you read that and you're like, really? Just one of them turned back to say thank you? I mean, even Jesus is like, really? Just one? Look at the rest of the verse. Now, he was a Samaritan, verse 17. Then Jesus answered, "Were not the 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner?" And he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This man's faith is what made him not to be sick on the outside or sick on the inside. And he responded with thanksgiving that was overflowing. And so I want us to be careful, church, to look at our own hearts and think of reasons that might cause us to have a sick faith. That might cause us to be ungrateful and take things for granted. When God has blessed us with so much in Jesus Christ. So think with me, what are some reasons that people might become, specifically Christians, might become unthankful? Well, one, we just mentioned it was taking things for granted. Another is we become selfish and prideful. People can have this attitude of, no one gave me anything, I had to work hard for what I have. And you know what happens? They end up thanking themselves more than they thank God. But life is all about them and what they like and what they've accomplished. And it's more about a I deserve this mentality and I don't deserve that mentality. And this can lead to a third problem, which is people become critical. Critical. They have a critical spirit that defaults to complaining instead of being thankful. And this made me think of another story that I read of a lady called Martha. Now Martha was trying to grow vegetables in her garden. Someone said to her, "Martha, you must be very happy. Everyone is saying how healthy your garden looks this year, especially the potatoes." "True, they are pretty good," she said. "But what am I going to do when I need bad potatoes to feed the pigs?" You simply can't win when someone becomes like this. It's a picture of someone who only sees the negative in life rather than the blessings they receive from God. And what they can be thankful for. Instead of being quick to have a list of things they can praise God for, they are even quicker to make a list of all the things that are going wrong in their lives. And you know what? People can become experts at complaining. About church, about people in the church, about work, about people at work. But someone might say, okay, I get it. I need to be someone that's thankful. We need to be thankful people. I get what you're saying, but man, you just really don't understand my circumstances. I don't think you understand what I'm going through right now. And this brings us to our second point. The occasion. When are we to be thankful? Well, Paul unashamedly says, in all circumstances. Or as another translation states it, in everything. Now one commentator, he says it boldly. That simple yet direct statement allows believers no excuses to be ungrateful. Paul didn't want the Thessalonians and many other New Testament churches he wrote to look at their circumstances and lose the perspective of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Rather, he's actually enlarging their worldview. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, when talking about what to do in living a life of worship, they are to be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But where, you agree with me that for people to blame their lack of thankfulness on their circumstances is pretty common, right? Does that sound familiar to you? It seems difficult to have a heart of thankfulness when you just found out that you've been retrenched because of COVID. And now you have to find a job when it seems there's no jobs available for anyone. Or when you might stop and think about marriage, perhaps, with this relationship you're in, and it's not working out the way you thought it would. Or even when you're married and your spouse is unloving and cruel and mean to you. How are we supposed to be thankful in these moments? Well, one thing we notice from what Paul says is that he uses his words carefully here, because look what he says in the text again. He says, we are to give thanks in everything, not for everything. And so what? What's the difference? Not only does it mean that thanksgiving is to be this continual action and not just this one-time thing in the past, it shows that this command to be thankful is more about our bigger picture, our perspective on life. And what that means is no one is thankful for a car that breaks down or getting cancer or having financial problems for sitting without water, maybe in Sunnyside because the pipes are broken again. But even when your car breaks down, or even when you find out you do have cancer, or that you might have financial challenges and your spouse is mean to you and you don't have water, we can still give thanks to God in those situations. And one reason believers can do that is because keeping things in God's perspective, not man's perspective. And one of the things that Christians always have to keep in front of their minds as they look at their circumstances is the gospel. The fundamental truth we say we believe about Jesus and his big redemptive plan. And in the Bible, we see that God is a giving and generous God. Not only sharing himself with us in creation, but he's actively at work sustaining his creation. Now, you might remember the story of Isaac and Abraham back in Genesis 22, right? By faith, Abraham was leading his son up a mountain to be a gift and sacrifice to God. And when you get to the New Testament, you read of Jesus, the Son of God, being led up the mountain to be a sacrifice to God. But unlike Isaac, Jesus knew exactly what was waiting for him. And amazingly, he didn't turn around and leave. He knew how his circumstances will be filled with rejection, pain, suffering. And then you read, before all this happens, in Luke 22:19, that he was having this Passover meal before his final execution. And do you guys remember what Jesus said? Because we're all experts in Luke now, right? He took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And to whom did he give thanks? To his Father, the very one that is leading him in and going to lead him through his difficult circumstances. The one who's leading him to the place where he's to be slaughtered for your sin and for my sin. So think about it. Here's Jesus with this meal, and in his hands he holds the picture of his soon-to-be bloody future. And he stops, and before all this happens, what does he do? He gives thanks. God not only gave us the most amazing gift there ever was, salvation and forgiveness of sins, but he took care of the payment as well. And when you receive this gift and the magnitude of this gift in your life, then believer, your life is to be marked with thankfulness. No matter what your circumstances are. Once we see the victory God achieved for us in a place like the cross, which is the worst place there is, our view of our circumstances are flipped on their heads. God gives you the gift of faith, and now we can live lives that glorify Him and praise Him by living lives of thankfulness. And not only do we need to have the right gospel perspective, another important reason we can have confidence and comfort in knowing that we can give thanks in all circumstances is because of knowing that God is in control of every detail of my life. The gospel shows me that God changes me from the inside out, but there's more to it. It's the same way God orchestrated all the details in providing the substitute animal for Abram. In the same way God orchestrated all the details in leading Jesus to the cross and dealing with the specifics of his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. And so we can know that God is at work behind the scenes in our lives and our circumstances as well. Which means I can find comfort and genuine joy and thanksgiving in them. Of course, Paul explains this more in Romans 8:28. This is the big verse on this kind of theology. He says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." This is what we call the doctrine of providence. You need to think about the right doctrine if you want to make sense of what God's doing in your life. And you need to believe the right doctrine if you're going to be a thankful person. J.I. Packer, he helps us understand this doctrine of providence when he says, "Providence, God's control over every moment in his own life, is what? Is the unceasing activity of the Creator." Alright, so that means it never stops. God never stops being in control here. "Whereby an overflowing bounty and goodwill." God is generous and he's generous in his goodness all the time. He does what? He upholds his creatures in ordered existence. There's total order and control from his perspective. He guides and governs all events, circumstances, and free acts of angels and men. And he directs everything to its appointed goal. Why? For his own glory. Only God can take the millions of details of a single person's life, the good ones, the bad ones, and he puts it all together in a picture that by the end makes you more like Jesus. Someone that is living a life of thankfulness that brings glory to God. I mean, it's like those guys who like to make these pictures, you know, with their hands. Have you seen those guys? They put their hands on the paint and they just start making these movements on the canvas, and it looks like there's chaos and craziness on the paint everywhere. And by the end, you take a step back, they turn the picture around, and what do you see? Someone's face, right? This amazing picture. You're like, wow, that's amazing. That's what God's doing with your life. And from a human perspective, the challenges we face and the things we tend to complain about, I mean, in that moment, they seem to have little or no value to us. We don't see what God is doing in the bigger picture of it all sometimes. But the doctrine of providence teaches us that all the details of your life are significant. God is using everything for our ultimate good and His everlasting glory. But do you believe that? Do you believe that? As you look at your circumstances right now, do you believe that? Remember, it took Corrie ten Boom a while to realize that God could use even fleas to give her freedom to study her Bible, to find comfort in God's Word while sitting in prison during a world war where thousands and thousands of people are being killed daily. And so to give thanks in all circumstances and in everything is to affirm our belief that God is overseeing every detail of our lives. As one man says, you wonder, what could please our Heavenly Father more than for Him to know that we trust Him so much that we are willing to live each moment in a constant state of thankfulness. Is this not what Paul said to the Philippians when he said to pray with thankfulness? Philippians 4:7. By recognizing who God is and coming to Him with a heart of thankfulness, thankfulness for who He is, thankfulness for what He's doing, thankfulness for the gospel, thankfulness for the blessings in your life, even if they seem distant and in the past, praying like this helps us to fight sadness, anxiety, and discouragement, and enjoy the peace of God. And so not only in our daily life should be marked with thankfulness, but our prayer life as well. And how do we know this is true? Why should we do this? Because the instruction is to give thanks, or when? In all circumstances, but why? The reason, number three. Because it's God's will for your life. Look at the text again. Paul says, we are to give thanks in all circumstances, good or bad, because this is His will for you in Christ Jesus. In his letter to the Thessalonians, actually, Paul told them about God's will for their lives already. Back in chapter 4, verse 3, he wrote and said, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. God's will for the believer's life is that he be holy and set apart from the rest of the world. And now here in this section, verse 18, he talks about more qualities of what should be evident, a part of this growing process. Constant joy, constant prayer, and constant thankfulness. But here's the thing. We know that God wants us to be holy and sexually pure, right? If you continue reading in chapter 4, you see what he's talking about. And when someone does something like having wrong, lustful thoughts, or get involved with immoral behavior, we know it's sin, right? That one's kind of obvious. But when someone is ungrateful or unthankful, what do? We tend to make excuses and say, you know what, I'm just having a bad day. Yes, sexually immoral behavior is sin, but do you see what else is sin? Being ungrateful. Living a life of thanklessness. Now, there are a few times in the Bible when it talks about the will of God for our lives. In 1 Peter 2:15, Peter writes that, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. You see how that kind of ties in well with what we said last week. That how we relate to one another and to the world, God's will for our lives is that we should seek to do good to others, and by doing so, you will actually silence their foolishness. In 1 John 2:17, listen to this. We are exhorted not to love the world and the things of the world. And then he says, and the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. That is part of the perspective that we as believers have to have about our circumstances and what God is doing in and through them. When we pursue and do the will of God. Because it's obedience and faith that allows us to know that God is at work in our lives and grow confidence and assurance. And guess what? Thankfulness. The man that needs to be admonished. The faint-hearted. The weak. Maybe they need to grow in thankfulness. We know that it's God's will to send Jesus to his death. It was God's will to raise him from the dead. It was God's will to raise him up to heaven and seat him at his right hand. It's God's will that we are now to be growing in holiness. And it's God's will for your life to be thankful. And perhaps you're sitting here now and you're hearing all of this and you're thinking, I want to be more thankful. And I hope that is true. But how? How am I going to do that? And this brings us to our final point. The possibility. How we can do it. How are we going to give thanks in all circumstances, knowing that this is the will of God for us as believers? Especially when things are tough and everything in you just wants to do the opposite. Well, Paul gives us the answer. The key is in that last phrase of the verse. He writes, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you, what? In Christ Jesus. When Jesus comes to rule and reign in someone's life, the Holy Spirit does the work of cleansing him from the inside out, so that Jesus can be the King of your life. Look at Paul. He actually writes to the church in Philippi, and he encourages them with these words in chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And not only do we see the will of God in this verse again, which is growing in holiness and obedience, we see the enablement for us to be able to do it. Did you see it? It is God Almighty who is at work in you so that you can do His will. And not to be someone who's complaining about his circumstances, because look at the very next verse in Philippians. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Chapter 2, verse 14. And so we see that instead of grumbling and knowing God's will, we are supposed to be thankful people. And when you are tempted to grumble about something or someone, you should rather stop and think about how you can be thankful in that moment. Thankful for God giving you the opportunity to be thankful. When the rest of the world would be complaining and arguing. Does this mean that we cannot be sad when hard things happen in our lives? No, it does not. Because we know that God never changes. He is always good. And that is something to always be thankful for. To be able to grieve deeply and to give thanks in hard times is a mark of Christian growth. Paul wrote of this himself to the Corinthians. He said in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10, we live, he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. When your desire for better circumstances takes over your desire for God, then it's going to be very difficult to be thankful. Someone who has received Jesus as Lord is going to be someone that is abounding in thankfulness. We already saw that in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And if you recognize it, you're not really a thankful person. But let me just ask you, perhaps it's because you have not received Jesus as Lord in your life. This is someone who wears the Springbok jersey, doesn't make him part of the national team when they run out on the field. In a similar way, just because you're at church, I don't want to assume you're a Christian. And people hear the exhortation that they need to be thankful, but why aren't they thankful? Well, perhaps it's because they don't have Christ in them. They're trying to give thanks, but not in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an empty thanksgiving, a pointless thanksgiving. Without being in union with Jesus, your thanksgiving is dropping on the floor instead of reaching the ear of God in worship and in genuine praise. And so maybe you feel stuck. Stuck in a life that is discontent and complaining all the time. Stuck in a life that is critical all the time. You acknowledge that you need to be more thankful, but it feels like you just can't do it. Now, as a kid, I remember daydreaming about what it would be like if I had the skills of some of my favorite sports players. You know, as a kid, you dream about being like Tiger Woods or someone like that. Now, if I had to ask you to come up and hit the ball like Tiger Woods would you be able to do it? I don't think so. What about Jesus? We put up the life of Jesus, and I'm telling you, live the life like Jesus. Could you do that? I don't think you can. But what if somehow all the amazing genius of Tiger Woods is able to come inside me? Do you think I could hit the ball like him? I think so. Now what about Jesus? Because when Jesus comes into your life, God not only allows you to be more thankful, He allows you to live like Jesus. You can live a life like Jesus, especially one that is thankful. The answer is not trying to be polite and say thank you more often. The answer is swimming in the grace of God. Understanding the cross of God. Understanding the providence of God. And living a life that overflows with thanksgiving to God for who He is. Thankful for all the people and details and circumstances that He's controlling in your life even right now. Overflowing with gratitude to praise Him and praise those around you. You need to be in Jesus Christ if you want to live like Jesus Christ. And for that to be a reality, you need to cry out to God. Cry out and repent of your thanklessness and embrace the free gift and love of God in His Son Jesus. As one man says, the giving of His Son is more than a cold, mechanical, divine donation. God gives because God loves. He loves us with an intimate love. And His giving is the overflow of His love in sharing Himself with us. And so in the same way, Christians, those who have Jesus living inside of them, they should keep the cross and the right doctrine of God and of this world and the next in front of them. Like the traveler who's on this long train journey, instead of looking out the window and complaining, are we there yet? Rather, slow down and enjoy the beautiful things that God is doing in this world in and through your life. He's putting all the pieces together, one by one. And as you're on this journey, you long for the destination of heaven, where you will never be ungrateful ever again. Are you longing for that place? And so the Bible is very clear. We need to be thankful people. We need to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for our lives in Christ Jesus. But practically, if we're going to do this, if we're going to create a culture of thankfulness, even here at the church, what can we do? If we're getting back to the basics of church life and our relationship with God and with each other, part of that is being thankful people. So what can we do to help each other be more thankful? Well, one thing we've said already is we need to keep the right perspective of gospel truth in front of us. And so we need to help remind each other of those truths in good times and in the hard times. But what else? What else can we do? Because as we read the Bible, we see that people are giving thanks to God in very specific ways. Paul is another good example for us here. Of the 13 letters he wrote in the New Testament, 9 of them explicitly give thanks for those who are receiving the letter. And he shows us how we can encourage each other and give thanks to God for one another. Even in the letter to the Thessalonians. In chapter 1 verse 3 he writes, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." And then down in chapter 2 verse 13 he writes, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers." And so Paul models to us what it looks like to encourage one another and give thanks to God verbally for what God is doing in people's lives. And I think this is something we can all grow in here at the church, to be honest. I think this is an area we can grow in. Some of us are not very good at saying thank you sometimes. We're like that little boy who went to his friend's birthday party. Maybe you've heard of this story before. And when he got home from the party, his mother asked, "Johnny, did you thank your friend's mother for the party?" "Well, I was going to," he replied. "But a girl ahead of me said thank you, and the lady told her not to mention it, so I didn't." And that is not the kind of culture we want at this church, right? Now, rather quickly, look with me at all the things Paul gave thanks for when he's writing these churches to encourage them. All of these are at the beginning of his letters. Number one, firstly, he gave thanks for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Philemon. So when you see someone coming to faith and growing in their faith, thank God by saying to them how thankful you are that God is at work in their lives. Secondly, Paul gave thanks for their love for all the saints. Again, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Philemon. When someone does something out of love for you, don't just expect it. Thank them for it. You can love them back by showing appreciation and gratitude for their love and thank God for that love. Thirdly, he gave thanks for their steadfastness, especially in trials. This is specifically 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Many of you have shown this during this lockdown period. In difficult times, your faith in God has encouraged my own faith and the faith of so many others. Your thankfulness in hard times has inspired others to be thankful as well. Fourthly, he gave thanks for their spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians. God has gifted the church with every believer, and every believer has been gifted by God to serve the church. So when we see people use their gifts for the good of the family, we can thank God for them. Now, of course, we don't want to flatter people. That's not the goal. No, the goal is to encourage one another and build each other up. And one of the ways we do that is to maybe even go after the service, to go to the worship team and thank them for the songs that we sang today. Thank them for the effort they put in week after week to practice and get ready. Or maybe going to the guys who help with the setup and the cleanup and thank them for all the sacrificial love and service they put in. What about your GC leader? Going to your GC leader and thanking them for hosting you week in and week out and helping you understand the Word of God. God has gifted this church with special gifts, and we need to thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Fifthly, He gave thanks for their partnership in the gospel. This is Philippians. What if you just wrote someone like Newton and Vanessa a message and thanked them for the work they're doing in Malawi? I don't think you guys have an idea how much encouragement that would be for them. When we create a culture of thankfulness that overflows out of our lives because of the truth that goes in here, there will be such a motivation to yourself and to others to keep going in the Christian life. Have you ever thought about it like that? When it's hard to do something, and you put a lot of effort into something, and no one says thank you, let's be honest, that's pretty discouraging. We won't work hard to get the praises from people. No, we work hard because we want to honor God. But when people say thank you, it is such a great motivation, and they want to keep going and work even harder. They want to do even more. And so, church, God is at work. He's setting Himself apart, people that is He's making into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And part of that picture is a person that's overflowing with thankfulness. He uses the broken things of this world to make us ready to spend the rest of our lives with Him. Broken governments, broken families, and even as we said last week, we celebrate the unity and diversity in this church, being different. And God uses each person in this church to make this family more like Jesus. God is using all these millions of things, preparing us to live with Him for all eternity. And so we're getting back to the basics here. Back to the basics of what this command is teaching us, to give thanks in all circumstances. Not only when things go well, but in every situation. And that we know that this is part of God's will for our lives, to be thankful people who trust Him in every detail in the plan for our lives, who is at work through everything that happens in our lives, and most importantly, has given us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those people who are united to Him are united to each other in this church, and all together we can create a culture of thankfulness. Helping each other be thankful people. Charles Spurgeon, you know, he's such a godly man, an influential preacher, and even until this day, and even though he's been dead for a very long time, he wrote about thankfulness, and this is what he says. He believed that it was a heavenly thing to be thankful. After all, it was gratitude which ought to teach us the divine object of grace. Accordingly, he longed for his heart to burn with the sacred flame of thankfulness. Is your heart on fire with thankfulness? As one comes to understand the grace of God, it results in a fire of thankfulness in our hearts. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. Thank You, thank You, thank You. That we could study Your Word today and be reminded of the importance of being thankful people. Father, I want to repent. And I think we as a church need to repent of all the times we've become so accustomed to Your blessings that we've cheapened Your grace. That it's caused us to be unthankful people. Forgive us for every time we complain and argue. Forgive us for every time we look at the cross and then we look away and we forget the massive amount of grace and love and mercy You've poured out on us through Jesus. But Father, thank You so much that we have such confidence knowing that as believers we can turn to the cross once again. See our Savior dying in our place. Be filled with the truth of Your Word so we can give thanks in all circumstances. Thank You that we are not by ourselves, that we have a family in Christ helping each other be more thankful people. Help us do that. Help us not to take things for granted even here at church. Help us to express thankfulness in the way with our words, in love, and doing sacrificial things for one another because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Make us a thankful people. Help us not to put out the fire of thankfulness in our hearts, but help us to embrace and stay warm as we stay close to Your truth. Thank You that You are the God of providence. The God that is using everything, every single little detail in this world, in our lives, the good and the bad, to make us more like Jesus Christ. Thank You that we can find confidence in Your goodness. We pray this in Jesus' name.